Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
And here's the danger. See, because we think that we can get away with this. And now I'm going to speak about Pastor. I'm not speaking about you now. But I want you to overhear the conversation. When Jesus is asked himself about bad shepherding, do you know what his response was? His response was, if you mislead one of these little ones, it is better for you to tie a rope around your neck. This is Jesus talking. Tie it to a millstone. Millstone is the largest of stones in that area used for construction purposes. You can work on it. You won't damage it. Right, or sometimes you take slabs of it to use, and throw yourself in the nearest ocean or the nearest lake in their case, because that death will be better for you than the death that you face when you stand before God. Memo to everyone who thinks they're a church leader and who's watching online today, aspiring to be one, or maybe is in leadership and we'll hear this later on the radio or watch it online. Be very careful. What I'm doing here in front of you is a very dangerous profession. Let's use that word, right, for our society. Because for you to mislead, abuse, deceive, extract from God's flock by misleading it is judgment. It's destruction. It's wrath. There is no pot of gold at the end of this rainbow. So for all of you who've thought about it, or for all of you who are in it, now I can expand. And I can talk about worship leaders and elders and deacons and people who coordinate ministries. God is watching. God watches. And God does not play around with his church. And God does not play around with his flock. He does not play around with people's hearts. He does not play around with their souls. Because he understands where it ends for many. And he understands where it can go for many. And because of that, it's such a serious thing. And for Jesus himself to call a timeout and do this little tangent and throw that out there in the middle of his ministry and say, listen, if you mislead the little ones, not kids, little ones in their faith, the ones who are beginning their walk, the ones who are having the Jesus conversation with, the ones who are beginning to kind of understand or maybe getting a glimpse of what God has done or a glimpse of the cross. If you're a believer, if you're a leader, you're a pastor, a worship leader, or just, again, let me boil it down to you now. Let's flip it around and apply it to you. If you are just a believer who knows Jesus better than the next person, and you are leading them away from Jesus, away from the scripture, let me give you a little bit of advice. Run and hide. Because he will find you. In other words, there is nowhere to hide from God. Be very careful. Be very careful. The way that we live, the way that we speak, the way that we present the word, the way that we present Jesus, the way that we present living for Jesus. Be careful, because God is aware and God is watching. And God, to a certain extent, for those who are redeemed, he will forget, because that's forgiveness. Forgive and forget. He says that he will take your sins and separate them from you as far. But for those who are not redeemed, he will not forget. And he will hold you accountable one day. So church, I say to you with love. I say to you with grace. I say to you with an urgency. Because of bad shepherding, because of a society that's turned against the church, because of the convenience, right, of using I'm just using one example out of many that I could use. Church buildings for other stuff, removing another witness from in front of people's eyes, from in their consciousness. Those of you who are engaging one-on-ones, be careful. It's a serious thing to play with someone's spiritual journey. It's a serious thing to play with someone's eternity. And God takes it very seriously. And he doesn't care how old you are. He doesn't care how long you've been in the church. He doesn't care what you think you've done or who you think you are in the church. He doesn't care. When it comes to it, all will be even in front of him. And he will simply say, were you following Jesus? Yes. Then why did you lead this person in this direction? It won't matter whether you were pastor or not. Hey, God, I just sat here for on Sunday. He won't care. He won't care anymore. He won't. So church, I say to you in love, and I encourage you, if you're going to live for the Lord, live for the Lord. If you're going to walk for the Lord, then walk for the Lord. Be a powerful and strong witness. If not, what he's saying to these shepherds will apply to you. This was the king, his officials, the priests, everyone was being included in this judgment, and judgment had fallen on Israel. But then he shifts over. He talks about the good shepherds. And again, I'll be brief this morning because I want to come to the table this morning and have a moment of prayer for our country. Look how beautiful what God begins to say. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in numbers. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing. Did you hear now the difference? And did you see what God is doing? God will gather. God will bring. And where have you heard fruitful and increase in number before? Please say Genesis. Okay, amen. We all said it. Okay, I'll fill in the blank for you. What is he talking about? He's talking about that the true shepherd, the good shepherd, is really the new Adam who is creating a new people for a new garden that sits in a new kingdom. We're no longer talking about pastors and churches, and we're looking at a picture that's larger now. Because when you start using the language of gather, of bring, of fruitful and increase, no longer be terrified. None of them are missing, right? It's impossible for a human pastor not to see that some people might be missing, to be able to reach and touch all, even for yourself and your life. So then we're talking about somebody else. And it's beautiful that he says, I myself, in other words, I'm not putting this in the hands of the king anymore. I'm not putting this in the hands of the priests anymore. I'm not putting it in the hands of the officials. I'm not putting this in the hands of pastors anymore. I am putting this in my hands. So let's walk through it historically just so you can see how beautiful the picture is. In this moment, how does God redeem? Well, 70 years from this moment, he is showing Jeremiah the future. Judah will come back. Israel will be saved. In other words, there's this king that's called Cyrus, and he will look at Nehemiah and say, what is it you want? Want to go rebuild my country. The walls are in ruin. Go back and rebuild. Nehemiah builds a wall. Ezra builds a temple. Cyrus provides. Fast forward a little bit. Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus leads the disciples. Jesus changes Paul. God doing it himself. Then what is our moment? Who guides the church? The Holy Spirit does. God himself guiding the church with a new set of shepherds. Leading God's people. Do you see how God is involved in every age and at every level? It's hands-on now. He is trusting no one. He is trusting no one with his people. He's trusting no one with his flock. He's doing it himself. So that's why sometimes when some of you here say, hey, pastor, you know, that message really resonated with me. And I've had that conversation before, folks. You need to understand that some of these messages that resonate with you on a particular Sunday, they've been mapped out for months, and only the Holy Spirit can do that, right? This imperfect instrument stand up front and share something, and you would say, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I didn't know that, but God knows that. See, the shepherd himself, God himself is doing it, right? And it takes a lot of surrender, and it takes a lot of humility, right? Which many, and again, because I'm a pastor, I can say this, right? That many pastors lack, unfortunately, to be able to deliver what God wants to say and not their cool idea or their cool opinion. Difficult, big responsibility, but the good shepherd has come. God will bring them back. God will provide. God will protect. God will lead them. Jesus Christ, God in the second person, doing it himself. And we close. Look at these words, how beautiful. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. In other words, I'm going to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Samuel and David are having a cup of coffee, And Samuel says, hey, David, guess what, brother? I hate to tell you, but you're not going to build the temple for God. You have blood on your hands. You can't do that. But there's this other guy coming who he will build the temple, because he'll be a different kind of king than you. But the promise was to David that someone from his line of kings would be the king of kings. David was how did he start his career? He was a shepherd. So he knew how to care for people. Not only a king, but a shepherd is coming. The true and greater shepherd, the true and greater king coming through you, David. I make the promise, David, that through you it will come. Well, guess who Joseph's family tree comes from? King David. Born in David's favorite little town in all of Israel. It wasn't Jerusalem, the capital where he lived. It was Bethlehem. That was his favorite place. Born there. So that's the promise of David. And then it says, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. It's not so much that he will do what is right. He will be what is right. Right? There's a difference. There's a lot of people who do good things, but they have dark hearts. And they're just kind of doing them. This king will do the right thing, but he will be the right thing. And then we'll take that a step further in just 2 seconds. Judah will be saved. 70 years she'll return. Israel will finally live in safety. The northern part of the country, who was always surrounded by other nations, always threatened church. Whether you've been far away from God and you need to come back home, or you feel that you're a believer and you are surrounded by life situations and choices, either way, the shepherd is going to rescue and save you. Will you look to the shepherd? Will you reach out your hand and say, save me, Jesus, restore me? And then, as only the scripture can do, it finishes with an exclamation mark, which I'll walk you through in 2 seconds. And I hope that it just kind of blows your doors off. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. There's a lot of church words in there that sound about right. You're like, okay, so what's the big deal? Listen. What keeps us away from a holy God is the fact that in our blood runs the DNA of Adam and Eve. We are sinful and we are broken. Therefore, a holy God, a totally righteous God, a totally just God, cannot have you be in his presence. It's impossible. That is why when God shows up in the Old Testament, it's like, I think I mentioned this like a week or two ago, it's like the little sliver of his pinky nail. That's all that you see, because if God showed up in fullness, he would obliterate everything. Because nothing sinful, nothing broken can be in the presence of a perfectly holy God. Because he is perfectly holy, perfectly just, perfectly right. And it's not perfect the way that you're thinking of it. It's perfect the way that he's thinking of it. So it's a bigger perfect that we don't even understand. And we don't have time to get into it this morning. But here's the thing. When Jesus is born in Bethlehem, that second person of the Trinity steps into a human body. And all of a sudden, there is a perfect human being. 100% man and 100% God, but wrapped in humanity. And when Jesus Christ died, when he dies, he already has lived a perfect life to satisfy all of God's righteous demands. He is in his right to demand of us exactly what he sees in himself. And that's why we fall short. We cannot live up to the standards of God. But somebody in the human race, that new Adam, has to live a perfect way for God to accept him in. 100% man, 100% God. When Jesus ascends into heaven, church, listen for a second. When he ascends into heaven and he stands before God, finally, there is a human being standing in the throne room, in the very presence of Almighty, perfect, righteous God, a human being who reflects God back to himself, perfectly blameless, perfectly holy, upholding all the standards, living the perfect life that no one can live, offering a life of sacrifice that no one can give. Finally, there's one of us in there. How many times did you hear in Scripture? Right? Sodom and Gomorrah. What did God say? Find me one, and I won't destroy the city. Did they find one? No. In Jeremiah chapter 5, we skipped over it. God says to Jeremiah, okay, I won't bring judgment, and I won't wipe this country off the map if you find me one. Just find me one. And guess what? Jeremiah walked all over the place. Not one. Not half a human being who could stand in the presence. But here is Jesus Christ now, in the flesh, in human flesh. a perfect human being who finally can stand in front of God. Think about this, church. He is standing before the God of the universe, the Holy One, full of glory and power. And he is standing there and he's reflecting God back to himself. And God is like, I can accept him. And then Jesus says, oh, but guess what? I have a bunch of other friends that are coming with me. They look just like me. And that's how you get in. Because when you say yes to Jesus, you become perfectly righteous and holy and blameless and upright, all those beautiful words, just like Jesus. So God looks at you and says, aha, I see him again. Oh, I see him again. I see him again. That is how you are allowed into the presence of God. As I said to you last week or 2 weeks ago, good people don't get into the presence of God. Redeemed ones do. And Jesus Christ standing there becomes our righteousness. He takes all of the standards and what God demands for something to be in his presence and says, I give it to you freely. It's here behind me. It's right here. This is what the table is. The righteousness fulfilled. He had to die. He had to die. He had to be broken. All of our sin washed away in the cup. All of our sin destroying him so it wouldn't destroy you. Finally, there's a human being standing in God's presence, 100% God, 100% man. Finally, that God says, I see myself. I accept you. And isn't it awesome that Jesus says, hey, there's a bunch of other people that I want to bring with me. And God says, well, if they look like you, bring them all. And that's what we preach. That's the gospel, the good news. That in Jesus Christ, you are made righteous before God. You are made blameless before God. You are made holy before God. The drumbeat of the Old Testament is, be holy as I am holy. It's impossible for us to do it. Possible through Jesus Christ only. And that's the gift that's being offered to you in Jesus. So I say to you this morning, Jesus Christ, we talked about it in our leadership retreat. The shepherd goes after the one sheep that was lost to save it. The good shepherd who comes to gather God's people. The good shepherd who comes to die for God's people. The one who lays down his life that we might live, went out to find the one lost sheep, which was you and me. And we're here. But what does Jesus go on and say? There's a lot of other sheep that are not here yet. And we need to bring them in. So now we circle back around to what we said at the beginning. The song of the Savior is being sung. The orchestra is playing. The music is being heard. But people need someone to sit beside them and explain the song to them and tell them the highs and lows and the beauty of the symphony being brought together. That's you. That's not me. Because you're the one that are engaging people in your life in different places. And I can't. Share the song with them. Share about the composer of the song. Tell them who wrote it for them. Tell them why. Tell them why there were low notes. And tell them why there are high notes. And tell them where the symphony ends with a crash. Jesus Christ died that we might live. Jesus Christ dies that we might stand in the presence of God. Jesus Christ dies that we would surround the throne of God ourselves one day and delight in his glory and delight in his presence. And church, I hope that gives you hope, and I hope that gives you power to live for Jesus this week, especially after we put the exclamation mark on this thing by coming to the Lord's table. Can Pastor get an amen this morning? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pause just to sit in your presence for 1 second. And just to say thank you. Jesus, as you stand before God in this very moment, and you say all of our names to him, we just say thank you. Holy Spirit, continue working in us, changing us, cutting away everything that doesn't look like Jesus, that we might be holy and blameless and upright before our loving Heavenly Father. God, thank you that the table behind me declares that you did not give up on us. Thank you that the shepherd came to save the lost sheep, us. I pray that you would use us to save other lost sheep, that they might come to know how much their shepherd loves them and the price he was willing to pay for them. I pray that they would see the shepherd through us now more than ever. So, Father, prepare us now as we approach your table. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.